This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan, as well as Lim Soo Ann and Dashun Johan. Totally lost my train of thought. Before the break, we spoke about World Book Day, which is happening this Thursday, and how because of the worldwide pandemic, ebook sales have actually been skyrocketing. We just had a little bit of discussion on what that might mean for the future of reading. And from books, we are now moving on to movies.
So I was rewatching Gladiator the other night, right? And a thought occurred to me. For entertainment purposes, people actually used to gather in giant arenas to watch shirtless men fight each other to the death, right? People no longer do that, not at that exact capacity anyway, which also got me thinking, and this is really painful for me to say, could the current situation with the COVID-19 pandemic spell the death of cinema? Not just the death of movies, because I think that will go on forever, but the death of cinema and the theatre-going experience.
Mm. Mm. But this question isn't something that's really, that's something that's very new, right? Mm. World War II and the subsequent arrival of television in the 40s and 50s, then that threatened to end cinema, but cinema endured. The growing popularity of home video rental in the 80s and 90s also, you know, there was a threat for that to do the same, but once again, cinema plowed through. And over the past couple of years, we've seen streaming platforms, particularly major global plays such as Netflix, Amazon Prime, they appeared to be geared up and ready to kick traditional movie-going appearance to the grave. But even then, cinema has found a way to maintain its relevance.
Mm. And one of the ways cinema has been able to survive and prevail is because of its ability to actually adapt to this ever-changing landscape. I mean, there was a time when a Martin Scorsese film would have been a must-see in the cinemas. It would have been a summer blockbuster, only released during these like peak periods. But these days, there's at least one mega-budgeted and bombastic film released every month. Mm-hmm. And filmmakers like Scorsese or, say, David Fincher have seen or are going to see their films being released straight on a streaming platform. So all of this is done to the way the modern audience now consumes films. Mm. But COVID-19, however, is maybe a curveball that very few people saw coming. Could it be, you know, one hill that's maybe too steep to climb, one storm that's too fierce for the industry to weather?
Yeah, I mean, at first the problems didn't seem too major, right? The virus appeared to be a distant problem. Mm-hmm. Only theaters in China were closing down and only Chinese New Year movies were getting postponed. But fast forward to today and the film industry all over the world has come to a complete standstill. Every major Hollywood film, for example, that was supposed to be in cinemas right now or in the coming months have been pushed back to the end of the year, next year, or some even indefinitely. Mm. So we're talking about films like No Time to Die, which is the latest James Bond film, mm-hmm. Fast and Furious 9, Morbius, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and A Quiet Place 2. But that's not all. Even the seemingly all-enduring House of Mouse Disney had to push back and reshuffle their entire schedule. The release of Mulan, Black Widow, and New Mutant, God bless that movie, have all been delayed.
I was looking forward to Mulan, I must say.
Same, yeah.
But, you know, on a more serious note, this has actually been catastrophic for the film industry as a business. Mm-hmm. Early last month, The Hollywood Reporter reported that the global box office had already taken a $7 billion US dollar hit. And if the pandemic persists through not just March and April, but also May, which seems like it's going to be a likelihood, Hollywood's loss of revenue would climb up to another $10 billion US dollars, which would bring the total loss to a staggering $17 billion US dollars. And what happens if the crisis continues beyond May? Especially in the US, well, you know, the likes of movies like Wonder Woman, Top Gun, Maverick, which were supposed to be, you know, these big money-making releases in June and July, they've also been postponed.
Yeah, and sort of, I guess, to combat this and get ahead of the game, studios have started releasing many of their films online. You know, at first only films that were already released in cinemas, such as Birds of Prey and Invisible Man, were made available to rent online. In a pre-COVID-19 world, those movies would have only been released 4 to 6 months after the theatrical run, but right now, they're releasing much earlier.
Yeah. And however, like later, studios started to change their strategy, right? Like Universal Pictures, for example, launched Trolls World Tour on video on demand the same day it was supposed to be released in theaters. And box office analysts on Forbes have suggested that this is already proving to be a much more financially fruitful move than if they would have released it in theaters in a pre-COVID-19 world. Yeah, and Disney has also announced, Disney, mind you, that they will be dropping Artemis Fowl, a US $125 million film, straight on their streaming platform, Disney Plus.
And here's another issue as well, right? Even if nations around the world successfully put an end to COVID-19 within the next couple of weeks or months, lockdowns are lifted, no, would people actually go back to cinemas to watch these movies? And so, you know, we thought we'd also sort of toss that question to our listeners here. We're asking you if you would go back to the cinemas once the movement control order is lifted. Right now, it seems most of you say, 38% of you say maybe next year, if at all. With the next saying, 29% saying not for 2 to 3 months. 21% saying perhaps end of the year onwards. But there's another 11% of you who say yes immediately.
I think Dashrin's one of the yes immediately.
I hope it yes.
But yeah, you can actually continue to take that poll on Twitter at BFM Radio. If you have thoughts on when you see yourself going back to the cinema, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're very interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, so with all cinemas closed, streaming services thriving, and people afraid to go to cinemas, even if they reopen, what does this mean for the movie-going culture? So I got in touch with Tony Pietrarjuna, local filmmaker and fellow film buff, to get his thoughts on the effects this pandemic will have on the movie-going culture. I started by asking him if he foresees people getting so used to consuming films on streaming services, perhaps even preferring it, that they become less inclined to go to cinemas altogether.
Yeah, I think that's likely the case, although it's a question of how long that would last on the long run. And you know, anyone might have their own views on that. But I would say that the writing was in the wall for quite a while already, even before COVID. You know, where the average person, you know, lightly going online to watch films. But and on the other hand, you know, at the same time, you know, whenever a big film is out, they still flock to the cinemas.
Right.
So I think perhaps it wouldn't entirely kill cinema attendance, but definitely there'll be a surge towards over the top. Releases and I think maybe that would this event would create a paradigm shift towards that, where I think perhaps maybe OTT will become number one and cinemas will be number two, second fiddle. So yeah, it would definitely tip the balance in favor of streaming.
All right,
that's what I foresee.
Okay. Then, yeah. In a response to that, do you then foresee more filmmakers and creators shifting to streaming as well?
No, definitely. And once again, a lot of the shifts in the industry kind of like laid the foundations for that even before the pandemic. But now it's like it seems like the pandemic is like cementing it in the future, because Scorsese was right about one thing, and recently even David Lynch, you know, my hero, pointed this out in an interview. That essentially what's been happening in cinemas is that the gap between small films and big films have widened.
Right.
To the point that, you know, small films, attendance for smaller films have pretty much been eliminated. And it's just, you know, the Disney, Marvel and whatnot, you know, all these big event films that rule the cinemas right now. And that's probably the only pull that people have when it comes to cinema attendance these days. I mean, there were some exceptions to the rule, like Parasite, you know, but that was word of mouth and festival runs and Oscars and whatnot. But on the other hand, it's like, for example, a lot of indies, for the most part, the majority of them had to go into straight to streaming or VOD.
Correct.
Because cinema distribution has become harder for them as opposed to the way it was back in the 90s or the 2000s. So I think smaller filmmakers, independent filmmakers, smaller films, or, you know, like second-tier studio films would have a future and might potentially thrive in streaming as opposed to cinema distribution
right.
as a result. So this could be good for them on the long run.
Okay. So then with that in mind, do you think the COVID-19 will be the death of cinema altogether?
I certainly hope not, but I think definitely it will deal a blow in the years to come. I think it'll take some time before cinemas and theatrical releases recover from this. But I'm just being optimistic. Yeah. I don't think it will bury it entirely. Yeah. As I said, it might regulate it into second-class footing in the industry. But I think as long as big films are being made, people will still go to cinemas. Although I think initially attendance might be lower because the trauma might be a little hard to come over on the short term.
Definitely. Okay, you bring up a good point. You said, you know, as long as big films are being made, and you said it will be a blow, COVID-19 will be a blow to cinemas, but it won't be the end of it. So what sort of unique experiences does cinema provide that will ensure that it endures?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, it's the experience of the immersive experience of cinema. You know, it's like you're there, you're watching these images on this huge wide screen, and then you have your Atmos surround sound, you know, or whatnot, you know, just making it really immersive, you know, which is, I mean, I guess you could replicate that with home cinema systems, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
And I think it's been kind of like embedded, entrenched in audiences to want to experience films on the big screen.
Mm.
But I think on the other hand, you know, people might be more selective about it. I myself have been selective about it. You know, it's like, you know, like, you know, if 10 films come out in a month, 10 Hollywood films come out in a month, I probably only have the desire to go and watch 3 of them. precisely because they're streaming. It's like, oh, you know, if I miss the other 7 in the cinemas, you know, I can catch up on Netflix, you know. So there might be a kind of continuing symbiosis in that sense, but with streaming being the one on top in the future rather than the other way around.
Okay. And on that note, right, do you think things will go back to normal? And by normal, I mean how things were, you know, so much as, you know, even a month and a half ago in this pre-COVID world. Yeah. So do you think, like, once everything blows over, things will go back to normal?
Wow. Hard to say. I one person you could probably ask is Steven Soderbergh. You know, because he directed Contagion, which is chillingly prescient. So much so that it feels like you're watching a movie that he made now. And as you might know, he's heading this this panel, which would, you know, kind of like you know, try to deal with the fallout of for filmmakers in Hollywood as a result of COVID. But sorry, going back to your question, I think maybe, as everyone said, there'll be a new normal. So I don't know. I guess maybe on the short term, if cinemas reopen, they might instate some kind of a social distancing standard where you have, like, you know, 6 feet between seats.
Yeah.
Something like that, you know, and everyone's required to wear masks and gloves. And if you picture that, that's going to look pretty dystopian. If it's cinema and you see all these masks, you know, sitting 6 feet apart, you know, and just staring at the screen. So, but yeah, who knows? That might be an effective way of dealing with the fallout. You know, at least, you know, some people, maybe half of them would come back, but, you know, provided that these measures are in place.
Right. Then do you think this pandemic might bring back something like drive-in theaters, for example?
Yeah, I saw that article as well, you know, and if that happens, I totally welcome it. You know, because as you know, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, classic films.
Yeah.
Grindhouse exploitation films and whatnot, where drive-in, you know, films used to thrive. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I never got to experience it myself, you know, because, you know, that was like, you know, back in the boomer days, you know, so, you know, and we're, you know, and we Gen Xers and millennials never really experienced that, you know, so, so yeah, if that comes back, that would be awesome. And perhaps, you know, it might even establish a kind of new normal as well for alternative routes to to watching films outside.
I think you bring up a great point there. So with all of that in mind, how long do you think it would take before things actually go back to normal?
If you're asking me as a person and just as a filmmaker, it really depends on how soon they find a vaccine, I suppose.
Yep.
You know, so if by sheer miracle they succeed in creating this vaccine within the next year, and people know for a fact that it can safeguard them from the virus in the future, then the new normal or back to normal, either way, could be established relatively soon.
Right.
Hopefully within the next 2 years. On the other hand, if this virus, God forbid, continues to thrive and we have to like deal with it periodically, you know, each year, then I think it's going to be a while before return to normal, where cinema attendance is concerned.
That was Tony Pietrarjuna, the director of local film Shadowplay, and he was sharing his thoughts on the movie-going culture and how it might change in a post-COVID-19 world. So we had a couple of comments that came in about your thoughts on whether you'd go back to the cinema soon.
Yes, so Space Cowboy says that not unless they take time to disinfect the halls, to check their stuff before re-entry, as well as to bring back or encourage over-the-counter purchasing, or if they regularly disinfect the e-ticketing machine. Another comment from MK, who is the opposite. If it is allowed, I will be the first to arrive.
My man right there.
So honestly, I mean, you wouldn't hesitate.
No, I mean, I would in a realistic sense, you know, I would definitely hesitate. But I think I'm already reaching that point where I really so desperately want to go to the cinema that I might just do it, you know, if it's like, if I realize that it's empty or whatever. But I think what I'm going to miss the most, right, is not so much for me, it's more of the communal experience, right? Because I like to go for movies on opening night with a packed crowd. I like to go half an hour and just soak in the crowd energy. And if it's like Tamil movies, I like to go to, you know, those Indian theaters where you get all the hardcore crowds and all those kind of things. So that's the one, because even if theaters open, I don't think we are going to be able to do that. You know, they might have certain social distancing rules and stuff.
Yeah, I'm a casual movie goer, so I will go if there is a movie that I particularly love. And I feel like in this case, once cinemas reopen, I'll be more of the cautious type. You know, unless cinemas have measures, social distancing measures in place, I don't think I'm comfortable sitting shoulder to shoulder with a person I don't know.
I am recalling, though, that just before our MCO was implemented, a lot of the local cinemas were already putting out messaging to assure, you know, potential viewers that they were sanitizing seats, that they were implementing the distance seating, so you sit a few seats apart from everybody, that they were sanitizing machines and so on. So honestly, I think I fall on the side of if I can have assurance that this is being done, to me, going to the cinema is probably not very different from going to a supermarket. You know, if I take the same measures. But of course, I don't expect everyone to feel the same way. So it'll be interesting to see whether after the MCO, once things are up and running, once films are actually being released, which is actually the more important thing, what the cinemas would do to maybe assure people to continue coming. Well, that is all the time we have for today on that. But if you have thoughts, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m., we have Ringgit and Sense, where they will be discussing personal finance and speaking to some licensed financial planners about their take during these uncertain times. So that's all from us today on the Daily Digest. We'll leave you now with "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised" by Gil Scott-Heron, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.